We are joined right now by one of the hardest working men in radio baseball world. It is Sam Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Hello, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. Greetings from Pacific Beach. And one conversation topic I would really like to hear on an upcoming show, maybe during a foreplay. Have you ever had a good breakfast scone? I don't know about you. I've never had a great scone.
Scones don't exist.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mm-mm. Okay.
I got an idea.
Good to know. I'm with you.
Grab yourself. Go into your pantry. Get the biggest spoon you have. Dig it deep, deep, deep into your bag of flour. Then sprinkle some blueberries on top. Wolf the whole thing down, and you've just eaten yourself a breakfast.
You guys have not gone to a really good pastry place because
I've been to England. I've been to Paris.
A good scone is delicious. It's not as sweet as some of the other pastries. If you're just looking for a sweet pastry, don't get the scone. But if you're looking for like some buttery crumbliness, it is delicious.
It doesn't exist.
It's better with a little coffee or a tea, perhaps.
Nope.
Like they eat it in England. But I am a fan of scones.
I've been to England. The scones there were terrible.
You just don't like scones.
Flowery.
No, you just don't
scones. Oh, here's what you do. Wad up 6 pieces of Wonder Bread. Sprinkle some sugar on top. Jam some blueberries in there. Shove that whole thing in your mouth. And that's what you get. You get a scone. Okay? Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Why get scones when you can get a croissant or a biscuit? That's my motto.
All right, let's move from scone talk to baseball talk. So what was the timeline like on Friday in terms of the game, your show, and the trade news coming down, Sammy?
Never a dull moment, Sammy.
No, never a dull moment with the Padres and A.J. Preller. They do keep it interesting. The timeline for me on Friday was I had the news broken to me by Jesse and Tony. Jesse and Tony talked about it on the air right before the game started. The news came down during that 10-12 minutes between my pregame show and the game starting. So actually the first time I heard of it was actually from Jesse on the air as that broadcast started. And then obviously the reports came down on social media and all that, and we were following it. So, yeah, I kind of found out right with everybody else and found out live on the air. And I think Jesse and Tony broke it to a lot of people because of the odd timing of it on a Friday night on May 3rd of all times to make a trade like that.
It was amazing. I mean, it happened right before the Seals game, Sammy, and I was a wreck. I mean, my phone was going crazy. The Seals game's about to start, playoff game, and I'm a wreck. And I'm looking at this thing, and of course, you know, like we always say, you get the big guy, Arias coming back, and then you got to wait to see what the return was. And then you saw the return trickle in, and then Marcy was added later, and that's all one component. You're like, oh, okay, well, there's a few players going back. Oh, I can't believe he got rid of Woosuck Go. And wow, good for him. And then the news comes in that the Marlins paid down, you know, his salary for the year. And that, to me, is really what put it over the edge. I was really stoked on it before.
Yeah.
Then you realize you're paying Luis Arias $600,000 to play for you this year. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. And I think Peter Bendix just got a nice little warm welcome to the big leagues from A.J. Preller. That's legitimately how I feel. Arias could go 0 for his next 12. I'm still going to feel that way because the guy's been unreal.
Yeah, I really like the trade all the way around for all the reasons you mentioned. I think, number one, focus on the player the Padres are getting and the fit he is in that lineup in particular, somebody that you can bat lead off that solves on most days the DH problem, obviously can play second base, can play some first base as well, so you can play him in the field. But I think on most days, will likely when Manny's playing third base each and every day, is going to be this team's DH. And that was going to be a problem and a question that needed to be answered once Manny took that third base spot mostly every day. And this really answers it, and obviously you can cycle other guys through there. So it answers that question. From a fit in the lineup perspective, he's somebody we know what we're getting, right? I mean, somebody who's going to hit in the 300s in all likelihood, get on base, and as long as the guys behind him do what they're supposed to do, I think lengthens this lineup and creates more runs for this lineup, no doubt about it. And I think in the bigger picture of the trade on who they gave up, the Padres give up talent, of course, okay? Dylan Head is young, but obviously has a tremendous skill set and was a first-round pick for a reason a year ago. Marcy, somebody they were high on, as we know, gave him a look during spring training. Martorella could end up being a pretty good major leaguer. And, you know, the fact that AJ was able to attach Usucco and the contract to this deal, I thought was, you know, a really important part of it. And obviously the other side of the other financial part of it. When I heard that, I think Alden Gonzalez of ESPN was the first one to report on it, that the Marlins were going to pay the bulk of the salary. I halfway couldn't believe it. And I said to myself, wow, so they ended up getting a player like Arraez and somehow reducing payroll and not taking on significant money at all. And it frees them up to make additional moves if they are in contention, and still gives them an avenue to improve this team. So, you know, look, I think, and I was talking about it on a podcast yesterday, I think for a lot of people that looked at the Padres in the offseason and saw them trade Soto, saw them reduce payroll the way they did, they then look at the moves to first acquire Cease and then Arraez and say, well, what are the Padres doing? Which direction are they going? Are they promoting from within? Are they, you know, building through their farm? You know, or are they still spending money? Are they still, quote unquote, going for it? And I think you can do those two things simultaneously. Yeah. AJ Preller, to his credit, has built a system, rebuilt a system, where you have the luxury to make a move like this, but still maintain top of the line position playing prospects. And you didn't touch your pitching prospects, which you may need here in the not too distant future. So, you know, to have the ability to do that, to continue building through the farm, not totally gut your system, but also acknowledge that because of the money you've spent, because of the stars that are here, and the potential of this current group, if you can just get there into the dance, what you could do, you got to keep your foot on the gas pedal. And I think the moves for Cease and Arraez continue to do that. And no doubt they are a better team and offense with Arraez than they were before. So all the way around, I really, really liked that I did.
Talking to Sammy Leavitt, and the trade also led to a viral moment on social media when Padres prospect Nathan Martorella was actually on second base for the San Antonio Missions when the trade kind of came down officially and had to be confusedly removed from the game. Now, Sammy, you've called a lot of minor league games. How often were you involved in, like, hug watches and when guys were actually pulled from the field because they were being sent to a different team's minor league organization like that?
Yeah, it's happened a few times. Now, I didn't have an experience like my friend Steven Davis did, and I the San Antonio Missions broadcast crew as well. They were on the road, and I actually got to know one of their I know both of their broadcasters there. I haven't really talked to them about it, but the home broadcaster in Little Rock, Steven Davis, is somebody I know really well. I haven't quite talked to him at length about it, but Steven, I thought, did a great job sort of describing what was going on. And what a surreal video, right? I mean, you could tell Martorella had no idea what was going on. I've seen a couple of those things, not quite as dramatic and as a viral worthy as that. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, when I was in Corpus Christi in 2017, I think, when the Astros made the trade for Justin Verlander, the first one, before they won the World Series. Or was that 2018? I can't remember now. But when they made the initial trade for Verlander, there were a couple of guys from that Corpus Christi team that went to Detroit. And one of them was a pitcher that we had at the time. But again, it wasn't as dramatic as, like, it was during the game. That was more during the day. I saw the other side of it, you know, when the Padres made the trade with and they acquired Taylor Trammell. And Trammell came over, and he was immediately one of the team's top prospects. I remember, you know, Trammell showing up to Amarillo and being inserted into the lineup that night. And you know, kind of, I remember talking to Taylor initially, and, you know, the only organization he had ever known was the Reds, and kind of, you know, how surreal that was for him at the time. And so I remember stuff like that, but I've seen a little bit of it, but nothing as dramatic as literally pulling a guy off second base. So that was, you know, hey, I'm for those guys. Look, it's tough in the moment, but I think no doubt, you know, in the grand scheme of their careers, they got a better chance of probably making the major leagues and sticking there with the Marlins than they do the Padres right now. So for them, it ultimately, I think, is a pretty good thing for those guys.
Sammy, I want to go back to Arise too, because when you mentioned all the prospects that the Padres still have, I'm looking at their prospect rankings right now, and you still have Ethan Salas, Robbie Snelling, Dylan Lesko, Leah Dallas DeVries, Adam Mazur, Graham Pauly, still a prospect. Yeah. I mean, again, Ryan Burgert, Homer Bush Jr., Randy Vasquez. I mean, these are all names you're hearing a lot. Some of these guys could potentially help you this season. Jackson Wolfe, another guy they reacquired, Alec Jacob. I mean, these are all names we know. These are not like single A guys that aren't going to be able to help this year. What I really like the most about this deal, and I saw somebody make this point on Twitter, Luis Arraez, you can't add him to every team and him help. He is it's a good fit here in particular for what we were looking for. And also, like you heard Profar, as Ben mentioned earlier, Profar was so happy. He's like, good, I love hitting fifth. This is great. Yeah. Like it's the first time ever when guys have come in and said, no, this is great. I'm happy for this. You don't get the sense
we'll make it work.
Not that we'll make it work.
We'll figure it out. They're like, genuinely like, this is perfect, what we needed.
It didn't feel like you're jamming a square peg in a round hole, as so many trades, not only with the Padres, but so many trades with other teams do. You're like, did you need him? Where is he going to play? How's he going to do that?
Right.
Oh, you're going to stick him out in left and see how it works? I mean, we had Adam Frazier out there playing left field at one point. That one didn't make sense. There were so many that have happened that didn't. This one just makes sense. Now, he's got to do his job, and his job is to hit and get on base. It puts pressure on Tatis and Manny and Crony and those guys. They've got to drive him in. I mean, but it's such a good fit here.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, on a team, let's say, where they didn't have as much power in the lineup, as much pop, then you might look at it and say, well, how much better does this really make
Correct.
You from a run-producing standpoint? But the Padres have that. And if the guys do what they're supposed to do, the guys in the middle of that lineup, no doubt having a rise in front with the bat-to-ball skills he has, the ability to get on base, it lengthens the lineup, and he should, hypothetically, be on base a ton for those guys behind him. So I'm with you. I think the offensive fit, and also, look, they needed a DH. Once Manny is pretty much playing third base every day, and in this, you know, I think on a lot of days it's going to take care of that. So I think it's a really, really great fit. And one more point on Arraez. And you alluded to it earlier. I heard from a lot of Marlins people I know that this guy is top of the line as far as a human.
Same.
Like the best teammate, like great. I mean, unbelievably great stuff. And I'm not just saying that. That's what I heard, and it sounds like you heard the same thing.
I got it from the horse's mouth, my friend. Yes.
Hey, yes. From a clubhouse
perspective. Very handsome horse.
Very handsome horse. A thoroughbred. A thoroughbred, if you will. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's going to be a great fit.
Standard mule.
Yeah, great fit.
So, Sammy, before you go, our tier ones are amazing. I'm looking in the chat. I know Jesse does the incorporator on Tuesdays. We've never asked you to do an incorporator during a pre- or post-game show. But they want to hear Jake Schoenenworth and Jurik Schoene Profar.
Oh.
Somehow in the broadcast tonight.
Okay.
Jake Schoenenworth.
I think Schoenenworth works a little bit better. So
I like Jurik Schoene Profar.
Of course you do. Because it's the least funny of the two options. Jake Schoenenworth is fantastic.
Sammy, hopefully the Padres are going to face some tough pitchers in this series against the Cubs, and then the Dodgers coming to town. It'll be a big weekend up in the loft in the Western Metal Supply Company. Big week for Sammy. We'll talk to you a little bit later and hear from you in a few hours.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
buddy. There is Sam Levitt, our EcoWater SoCal Padres pre- and post-game show host.